get the old chimney sweeper. Make sure the chimney is clear. Time to get humming. Santa is coming. I love this time of the year.
Welcome to Molly and Pete Save Christmas. I'm Pete.
I'm Molly.
Is this going to be our final episode of the 2020 holiday season?
It is.
It's very sad. maybe not for the listener, but personally, as a Christmas enthusiast, it's always a little bit bittersweet when, you know, the season is over.
Are we going to keep going after this?
Like, just do a podcast?
Once every 2 weeks, maybe?
Maybe. Should we do something around Hallmark movies? Like, you know, because they always have winter extravaganzas, and then they have Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And then Arbor Day.
I mean, we just did it where we talked about other things last time when we kept it going.
Yeah, maybe. You just gave me a look.
I'm wondering if people can hear you drinking coffee. I'm sure they can, and lemur eating next to us, too.
I think you can, because when I go back and,
Which one? The drinking coffee?
Both.
I would advise not doing it. I hate when people eat and drink on podcasts, and I can tell that they're doing it, and it drives me crazy. It's so gross.
Just enjoying a nice, warm beverage.
It's like your 15th cup of coffee.
It's my third cup of coffee.
I don't think I'm alone in this, not liking people drinking on podcasts.
I try to do it away from the mic.
You had the two, like, pushed together.
Well, that was just to show that I was drinking a warm beverage.
I remember, like, my brother used to write me these letters, and he would always talk about how much coffee my parents would drink in them. That's what makes me think of. It was like a major topic of each letter, how much coffee they've been drinking.
Yeah, my parents growing up, they would drink coffee all day long. Maybe make a couple of pots, but then also, if the coffee was just sitting in the percolator, they would pour the cup and then heat it up in the microwave.
An old person thing.
Or the microwave, what's the famous English cook? What's her name?
Julia Child?
No, current. There's a video of her saying, and just heat it up in the microwave. I don't have that many cups of coffee.
It's just really, you're always, like, I have acid reflux, so I'm limited in the amount of coffee I can have, but it just seems like I've been done drinking coffee for hours, and you're still going for it.
I try to be resourceful and use all the coffee that has been made.
You can just make less.
I don't know how to make less. In the I have the measurements
system.
Like are exactly how I like it. I know how the amount of coffee and the amount of water that makes a good pot of coffee. If I vary from that, all hell will break loose.
I don't like the sound of drinking coffee not on a podcast, and then especially on a podcast. And then I noticed from other podcasts I listen to where they get accused of eating or drinking on while they're recording by listeners, so I have opinions about things. This is not my sole opinion.
Nigella Lawson. Yeah. She says microwave.
Oh my gosh, that's ridiculous. it's horrible. It's terrible.
So we've been doing a lot of Christmas things.
Yeah, we've kind of like finished our list though. Yesterday we went to the Music Box, always has It's a Wonderful Life, and the Music Box Theater always has It's a Wonderful Life and White Christmas at the theater, but this year it's at a drive-in, so we went to that, and it was fun. We weren't sure if it was going to be fun or not, and it was.
Yeah, at some point yesterday afternoon, I was like, I wish your parents would just come over, and we could just watch it on television and be warm. Because I was just concerned about having the car off.
Yeah, so they had a lot of rules about how, like, you listen to the audio through your radio, so you had to be able to turn that on, but then not have any lights on your car. But then we weren't sure if we'd be cold or not, if we could have the heat on. Like, they allowed you to turn your heat, like, your car on for, like, once every hour or something
like
that.
Yeah, and I noticed people were doing that.
So we just brought blankets, and it wasn't super cold yesterday, thankfully. So we just brought blankets, and we were and dressed warmly, and we were okay. And then there were still like two little like parking lights that came on our car. And so a guy came by who worked there with wet t-shirts.
Yeah, wet like soccer jerseys.
This was at like a soccer like sports complex thing. So, and he put them over the lights, and so they would fall. It was windy, so they would fall off periodically. We'd have to get out of the car and put them back on.
If you've never been to the Music Box, It's a Wonderful Life White Christmas sing-along, what happens is when you get into the theater, you know, you try to get there a little bit early, say 15 minutes early, get your seat.
You have assigned seats.
You enjoy Dennis Scott playing the organ. You know, yeah. He plays all sorts of like Christmas songs while you're just, you know, waiting for the movie to start. And it's great. Yeah. He's awesome. And then
there's a real ham bone guy that plays Santa.
And
carolers. Ugh, gag.
Oh, yeah. Then carolers come out. Yeah. And they're pretty lame. So then, you know, at 4:45, when the movie is supposed to start, that's when the sing-along starts. That's when Santa comes out and plays along, and they show the lyrics on the screen, and they did that at the drive-in.
Yeah.
So I'm singing along to the songs like you're supposed to do. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
You sing every song. You were a good little goer.
And you were like mocking me, and I was like, I do this every year.
No, I wasn't mocking you. I was just like, why are you singing?
And maybe because we're in a theater full of other people.
Yeah, because you're just like alone in the car, looking at the lyrics, falling off.
You're just like looking at your phone. I'm like looking up at the lyrics, singing along to It's the Most Wonderful Time of Year.
Yeah, when you're with other people and singing along, there's like a feeling to that. But just when you're alone looking at it and singing, it's not the same.
And then I was singing one of my favorite songs is Nat King Cole's version of the Christmas song. And I was singing that on the way home. And you were like, why are you singing this?
So then last night, I really don't know if it was real or a dream. But I dreamt, or this actually happened, that you were singing like a very like religious Christmas carol, like just parts of it. And I woke up and like looked at you, and then you got your phone and like looked something up or wrote something down and then went back to sleep. That was was that real or a dream?
I don't know. I don't recall it, but there's often times where I've done things at night where you would say that I've done that I don't remember because I'm sleeping. So I mean, it's possible I could have been singing a song.
Well, yesterday was definitely the most you've ever sang in one day since I've known you. So
no, because when we go to the sing-along, I sing along.
So it was the most solo singing.
Well, yeah, that's for sure. I nail pretty much every song. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Like, we sing like goofy things about our pets, or you sing like, you know, you try to like remember what a song is and you sing a little bit of it, or you sort of like, yeah, do an impression of some kind of song. But then just like straight up, just straight through sing all these songs.
Yeah. Yeah. As you know, I've kind of been obsessed with, you know, listening to The Light and really digging deep into the meaning of some of these Christmas songs, you know, Randolph and Run, Run, Rudolph and Andy Williams, It's the Most Wonderful Time of Year, you know. Mm-hmm. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And there's a part in it that I thought was always odd, and I never really, like, well, that seems weird, but whatever. And you just, like, you accept this as the song. And I noticed Ken Tremendous, Michael Shore from The Office and Parks and Recreation on Twitter, noticed the same thing, and he posted it on Twitter, and he tweeted something like, you know, I love, my favorite part of It's the Most Wonderful Time of Year by Andy Williams is when he forgets what holiday he's singing about, because he says, you know, there'll be scary ghost stories, and you're like, what, are there scary ghost stories in Christmas? I don't know. I've never experienced scary ghost stories during Christmas. That's not a thing.
No, maybe it's like a Christmas carol where you talk about like the ghosts of Christmas past.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Or future or present.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like that's a stretch, though. I think I preferred the drive-in in that our seats were more comfortable than the seats at the Music Box. Yeah. You don't just sit right by somebody. Like, it's always like families that come and they bring their uncle that's like drunk that like never goes to the movies. Like,
remember
you have to deal with that
guy yelled at me because I shushed him?
I just remember us being yelled at by a drunk person at one year. But I feel like there's always kind of that feeling, though, and those parts were better. Yeah.
And there's always that part when you're in the theater when we would go to the movies and you'd get your seat, and then like the next 20 minutes you're just nervous about, you're like, you're staring at every person walking in to see who's gonna come sit next to you or make you move or whatever. And I know it's a little different at the Music Box where, you know, everything's assigned and it's all sold out, so there's definitely going to be somebody next to you or whatever, but you never know what type of person, so there's always some nerves involved. And yeah, the drive-in totally eliminates like, all that stuff.
There's always a point in which I love It's a Wonderful Life, but there's always a point where I'm ready for it to be over. It's like a little too long. And I didn't really feel that yesterday. So
listening to it on the radio, there's so much more that I picked up audio wise background noise and just the actual dialogue I may have missed in the theater. I enjoyed it, listening to it on 89.9 or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was fun.
Obviously, I've seen It's a Wonderful Life a number of times. It's a weird movie. There's like weird parts.
Yeah.
And at the end, when everybody comes together and George, you know, gets all the money out of the basket, and Harry Bailey, his younger brother, comes in with Bert the cop.
Yeah.
And Bert the cop's holding an accordion. He has an accordion.
Yeah.
Why? Why does Bert the cop all of a sudden have an accordion?
Because they're going to have a party. He's going to play the accordion.
I just thought that was weird.
Maybe that's something they did back in the day. It was a squeeze box.
Yeah, I guess it was a squeeze box. I don't know. I get choked up every time. And I don't know if it was...
It's like a Hallmark movie. I'm like, okay, is this going to be over yet? And then you're like, oh, it's like happy.
And maybe because 2020 has been such a nightmare. Hit a little harder this year.
I remember feeling Trump vibes from it last year, but really like just seeing Pottersville and feeling like that's what this country has
could have been
become. Yeah.
And then we got home last night. As you also know that I'm very into old sitcoms of classic Christmas episodes. You went running yesterday. You went like for a long run at Morton for like a 12-mile run, and I'm like, okay, what time are you getting home? And you're like, I'll be home at around 11. Right? I'm like, all right, I'll be home at 10. That gives me an hour to watch The West Wing Christmas.
You sent me a picture that you were watching it. And you were like, you're so wrong about this. It's great. And I was like, is there the part where the homeless person dies and he's like the white savior to it all?
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, you're right. All that stuff.
Stuff with Ms. Landingham still in it? Was that taken out?
Your mom had listened to the last podcast. I've been wanting to know if they've been intrigued about watching The West Wing Shibboleth. So
like every
asking.
Time I talk to one of them, you say, did they say that they watched Shibboleth? I was like, what? No.
And you're like, why are you forcing them to
They're
do
so this? Nice to you. Why would you torture them with that? And nobody wants to watch it.
My dream is to like sit with them and watch Shibboleth and Excelsis Deo or whatever it is. So I remember
one Christmas Eve you made us at my parents' house watch that, and it did not go well.
But
there
was a lot of things going.
You can pull that out of your excuse pocket. We'll get to that in a minute. But I think that because it was on, there were a lot of things going on.
No, like the dogs are doing stuff. And it's an episode where you have to pay attention. You can't just
I think
zone
this
in.
This is what I
out.
Said. I think this just needs to be your thing. Just enjoy it as your thing.
But I like introducing it to other people that may not be familiar with it because it's really good. Both the episodes, In Excelsis Deo and Shibboleth. But anyway, so I've watched Frasier. I've gotten my friends The Holiday Armadillo in without your knowledge.
Yeah.
So we get home.
No, I knew about Holiday Armadillo, and that is... I would rather watch West Wing than that. I hate a Ross forward Friends episode.
And so we get home last night. We get home from the It's a Wonderful Life thing, and you said, all right, let's fire up Festivus. And I'm like, what? I'm like, yes. This has never happened where you've actually like suggested we watch a Christmas episode.
So I went
of a
into
TV
the kitchen
show.
And then I came back to the living room and you're just sitting there like going through like Hulu or something. I was like, what are you doing? We've got to like get on Zoom. And he's like, you told me to do this. I was like, I would never in a million years say that.
I was ready to watch the episode, the strike of season 9 episode of Seinfeld, which we know Festivus is, but we were invited to, you know, Jim Rafato, my pal, who I used to work with, every year has a Festivus party, which we go to, And but that since we can't meet up in person, mm-hmm. they had a Zoom Festivus party.
Yeah.
And that's what you were talking about. You were talking about let's fire up the computer and get on the Zoom Festivus, but I thought you meant let's watch the episode of Festivus.
But Jin, just like with regular Festivus, somehow we get there like really late.
But yeah, the party
always happens for some reason.
I know.
Like I think all of like our friends had already like been on it.
Yeah.
Who I would have like, you know, loved to see.
Yeah.
Which I mean, it was fine to see the other people too, but we didn't know anybody.
Yeah. At some point I logged in.
I mean, it was good to see Jim and Danielle, of course, but yeah, everybody else we didn't know.
I logged in. There was a conversation that I didn't feel like I could add any additional context to, so I just shut the computer down. I was like, maybe I'm just going to skip it this year. And then you came down and you're like, well, let's log in. And yeah, it was good to see Jim.
But it's funny because they had noticed that you came in and out. And then another person came on and she's like, oh, I thought there'd be a lot of people here. And I wouldn't have been noticed. And she was trying to do the same thing. Just a quick in and out. And then we couldn't figure out how to leave.
So I sent a chat saying like, all right, we're on there for an hour.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just like, it's hard. I mean, I guess regular parties are hard to leave too, but it was just hard to navigate how to leave. Because it didn't feel like it was ending anytime soon. How late did it go?
Danielle said that they had expected that it would go for an hour and they'd, you know, meet up with some friends. And she said they were on there for 4 hours.
Oh my gosh.
I love going to Festivus because, I don't really see Jim that often anymore. I see him on social media and stuff. But
yeah.
It was just, when I saw him, enter, when I logged on, Danielle was in a conversation with somebody. And then, he came in and it was it's so good to see Jim. I miss seeing him and I miss talking to him and miss him
it's
being
so familiar.
Angry about the Cubs or something.
Well, it's interesting that they've moved to a neighborhood that a lot of people have moved to because you can afford a house in it, and it's the red neighborhood of Chicago.
Yeah.
And so but these more, you know, more progressive people have moved there from other neighborhoods and changed opened businesses mm-hmm. and changed the face of it or you know, it's evolving, and they've had an alderman issues and a very racist
mm-hmm.
alderman, and so they've trauma bonded together to be progressive in this racist neighborhood. So it was a lot of their friends that they know from an organization that they've joined mm-hmm. to try to change to get fair housing in the neighborhood and change the face of the neighborhood though. So
yeah, which I applaud, but at a Zoom festival,
it got a little businessy in some
way. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the Cubs or something. But.
Well, you can. It's weird in that it's interesting that when you go to a party like that, I mean, Festivus, or we always have a party where people know each other from all different ways. I always want people to have conversations with someone they don't know, and it kind of brings everyone together. But it seems to we always sort of talk to the same people at Festivus, and we don't really meet the other people. So you got to meet the other people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I just wanted to talk to the people that we know too.
Yeah,
and you can't do that on Zoom.
No, but it was great, and I'm glad they did it. And I know we always kind of dread the drive because it's far.
Yeah,
and we usually have done something that
then
during
you
the
get,
day.
An Uber that drives you back far again.
So there's always some. Oh, God, we have to go to Festivus. But then we go, we always have fun. And
it's not that we have to go to Festivus, it's that we have to go all the way up to that neighborhood.
Yeah, and we always have fun, and we're always glad that we did it, but that was eliminated.
Yeah.
But then that part was still, it still was there.
Okay,
somehow.
Well, our Uber's here, so we gotta go.
Yeah. I don't know why this reminds me, but when, kind of going back to my Christmas music obsession on the light, I always complain about the song selection that they play. They're very limited in their song selection. I'm like, really? Bobby Helms, Jingle Bell Rock again? Another Percy Faith? I'm always complaining about, let's open this up. There's so many other great Christmas songs. As you learned this week, there's a lot of other bad ones.
Well, yeah, I can add to this.
The other day, I was listening to the Christmas station, and they played a Wendy and Carney Wilson song.
Yeah.
This is garbage.
They've been playing one that's The Weeknd and somebody, which I like The Weeknd, but not this, not the somebody that is with, and it's really bad too.
So I was like,
the
yeah,
new additions, turns out we just like the old.
Yeah, just give me Bobby Helms, as it turns out.
They've like, you know, I've been doing a lot of like Peloton holiday content, and they seem to play the same. They love the NSYNC Christmas song, which I do too. I mean, that's a classic. But then they play like the Sia one that just like, oh, just
Puppies
like,
Are Forever.
No, it's whatever. It's the one that sounds that very like auto-tune-y kind of sound. I'm not here for that. And like an Ariana Grande one or something, like newer ones that I was like, then when you take the, like I took a run that was more, it was like kind of more classical, like it'd be like Nutcracker Suite, or it was like more old fashioned Christmas songs. I was like, all right, this is so much fun.
I know.
There's this Bryan Adams Christmas song that I heard. Have I talked about this on the podcast?
I don't think so, no.
We went into like just the little grocery store that's down the street, kind of like right before they closed to grab a couple things. And so I'm like the only one in there. And so I could really hear the music, and it was this Bryan Adams song. It's like, something, I'm going to sing, something about Christmas time, something about Christmas. And I'd never heard it before, and it was really stuck in my head. So I like looked it up, and then now I hear it everywhere, and it's in one of the Peloton runs, too. I'm like,
We looked it up. Is it old or is it new?
It's both. I think it's old, but then he put like a Christmas album together, and it was on that, maybe just like last year. But I was really excited because, well, of course, like you were going to do a Christmas show, and then now you're not. And then you had maybe an opportunity to do one, and you turned it down.
Well, no, there's another slot. My last day of work is on Tuesday, so there's this woman at Chirp who also does two shows. She does a show on Wednesday afternoons, and then she does a show on Friday mornings. And I thought, oh, I'm going to ask her to take one of her Wednesday show, which actually was my old slot.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'll do the Christmas show then. But then I was over it. I was like, oh, that seems like too much trouble. I don't feel like putting it together. It's a lot of work. Like, I put in a lot of work for this Christmas show. But then I got a memory from yesterday, from like 2017 on Instagram, that said, getting ready to prepare my 8th annual Chirp Holiday Spectacular, tune in. So I was like, oh, maybe I should just bite the bullet and do it. So I'm still...
Just decide.
You don't like the indecision.
Or just like, I don't like just like tashing through it. But yeah, so as you're preparing, you know, like we're sort of listening for new things, and I really like... secretly, like it's Jag Jaguar and Dead Oceans, and like
secretly Canadian,
those record labels. I like a lot of like the artists that are on that label, and so they started like, there's a lot of their artists did Christmas songs this year, and they started a playlist on Spotify of Christmas songs, and I was like, oh, this is so exciting. Well, I put it on like Thursday or Friday, and it did not, I FF'd through every song. It was so depressing. It was terrible. It was so bad. Every song was terrible. There was not one good song on it. And I was like, nope, I only like the old corny stuff.
Well, I mean, I think there are new Christmas songs and Christmas records, but I think that there's an abundance of really bad ones. So like, really have to dig to find
it's something. So rare that a new one breaks through and that we add to it. I mean, it's sometimes like, I love this, like the Burgers in a Bin song
by Nick Lowe.
The Nick Lowe.
But that's like 10 years old now.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, it's not 50 years old.
Yeah,
though. But it's not like it's a, I don't know, something about it just like caught with me.
Yeah.
So it's because it's just like light and fun. Like the Secretly ones were so heavy and depressing. Yeah. And I don't understand the impulse in 2020 to make heavy, depressing music.
Yeah.
It should be like light and escapist, I think, is we're all depressed. Don't add to this, please. There's this, I listen to KEXP a lot, and they have this day a couple times a year that's like a mental health awareness day, and that day makes me I can't listen to it. It like bums me out so much. All they do is play super depressing music.
It should be upbeat and poppy.
Yeah,
like get happy.
And so that's how I feel about that playlist.
I think it's rare that you find a really good new holiday classic that can be added to your Christmas collection. I've enjoyed the Calexico.
That was good. We listened to that, the burrito song. There's a song about burrito that's lovely.
It sounds like, I mean, doesn't,
yeah, no, I like
happy.
This. Yeah, this is so much better than the Secretly stuff.
Burrito sabanero,
Yeah, that's the Christmas vibe I want.
I think I spent some time translating the lyrics too. I was like, what are they singing about?
Like, you're sure you want to make sure before you get to it.
There's you know, Andy Serzan from Jam, our friend Dave Rockland, who works for Jam. He always would give me the CD of Andy Serzan. He's like known as like the Christmas guy,
the weird Christmas music guy.
Yeah, like he's always on Sound
the
Opinions.
Yeah, music guy.
And he puts out CDs of like,
and we love a lot of those songs.
Yeah,
those
Peppermint Choo Choo, and stuff like that. And this year, I saw Sound Opinions post his playlist, and it was like all blues songs. It was kind of, the theme was like, you know, 2020 has been a bad year. I'm going to listen to some blues. But I was like, no, I want to listen to some happy.
Why torture yourself more?
I want to listen to
burrito songs.
I don't want
I feel like too, like like we usually travel at this time of year, and like that song kind of makes me think of somewhere that we might travel this time of year. Like
yeah,
the soundtrack to it.
Yeah, well, next year.
So then the other thing that we were dealing with yesterday was that, so there's, you know, you all probably know that shipping is nuts right now. Mm-hmm. And so like the thing that I've been facing the past couple of weeks is that there's been a lot of orders. We pack them up, we print out a shipping label, I take them to the post office. If it's before six, I take them to the post office that night. If it's after six, by the time we're done, I drop them off in the morning. The post office has these big bins that you put them in. When I go in, the bin is always overflowing and full, and so I have to like wait for them to bring a new bin out. Or like I had this one experience where somebody who works at the post office was like, okay, come with me, this is what we're gonna do. And she had me pull the big drum down, and like I would shove a bunch of stuff in there, and then she would catch it, and she's like, you have to listen to me, because if you do it wrong, you're gonna cut my hand off. I was like, oh my gosh. And they told me at the post office that they have 30% of their staff because of COVID, you know, like people have gotten sick, or people have been exposed and have to quarantine, or they take care of a family member or something like that. And obviously there's been, you know, the Trump administration has done things to affect the post office as well that we've seen evidence of. So there's a lot going on. And then, you know, there's been statistics that there's 1,200% more packages being shipped this year. People are shipping everything, and it's amazing like how much they're supporting businesses too by ordering. So that's great. But then this is the consequence of it. So what's been happening is that we saw this happen in the summer too, where they weren't really scanning as much, so things would not, they might be moving or have gone to like a distribution center, but they're not showing any progress when you just scan it, or when you track it, you put the tracking number in and look it up online, you're not getting like an accurate read on it. And then they'll scan it that it's been delivered before it actually has, like none of it is super accurate. Even with like FedEx and UPS, I've seen the same things this year too. So it's been a challenge to, while I'm like so thankful for all the orders, it's been a challenge to manage people's expectations of how fast they're going to get something. And then when they see or don't see any progress, to assure them that we have in fact shipped their order. Mm-hmm. It is somewhere, and it will. I've shipped thousands of packages this year, and nothing has been lost yet. It eventually makes it to them. So it's hard. I mean, I'm waiting for stuff.
Yeah,
too. I'm in the same boat, and it's frustrating. So most people are, though it can be exhausting to have to explain this over and over and over again, and I've added stuff to my, and this, it's not just me, it's how everyone is handling it right now. My stores, other small businesses that have websites or Etsy stores, we've had to add messages to our like confirmation emails. We've had to post things on our websites, like managing people's expectations and warning them before they place an order of what could happen. So anyway, so yesterday Friday night, it all came to a head where
it's just as we were going to bed,
because I get a lot of messages from people, and I respond to them explaining what's going on. And every other time, people have, for the most part, have been very understanding. And there's like a few things I've made the decision, and it mostly because the people have been really kind,
yeah,
I've made the decision to go ahead and like FedEx them a replacement, even though they're still going to get the other one I mailed.
Yeah.
That, I mean, by this point, it's order at your own risk.
Yeah.
But for people who ordered things in like November and they still hadn't gotten them, then I stepped in and made something extra happen.
You were talking about this, and I had mentioned that I'm still waiting on a couple of gifts for you, and I like looked at the tracking of one of my gifts. I ordered it on the 1st of December. It shipped out on the 3rd, and it's still in transit. And I would never think to contact the seller.
Yeah. Well, there's been a lot of posts lately, like
why
small businesses do not control the USPS. There's nothing I can do.
And also,
there's no magic I can do, nothing I can see on my end. You know,
every situation is different. But even if this doesn't get to you by Christmas, it's going to get here and you will receive it.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I would love it. I would love for you to have it by Christmas Day and open it like how we open presents. But if it comes on the 27th, I can give it to you on the 27th. Like, I'm not that crazy about it.
You're not just going to, like, rant and rave and then just throw it in the garbage or throw it at the postal carrier when it finally arrives.
Right, yeah. And maybe
that would never be your instinct to do something like
that. And maybe I pay more attention to it because I know what you have to deal with.
And we've had since March to figure out how to, like, adapt to this, but it was just the scale of everything so quickly post, like, Black Friday ramped up.
So on Friday night, it was great. We had a wonderful Friday night having dinner, watching. We adopted out our cats.
Oh, yeah. Our cats got adopted.
Darlene and Dolly both got adopted. And we watched.
And I was feeling like things were kind of like simmering down finally. And everyone was sort of understanding. And people have been very, when they ask and I explained them what's happening, everyone else has been very understanding. And then, but I've had this like fear because on Etsy you get ratings and they're not supposed to let you have a bad rating based on shipping that you can't, a shipping issue that you have nothing to do with, that you can't control. And but it's still just, you know, it's like the fear of like these, I know there's still packages out there that still say pre-shipment that we shipped over a week ago, and you know, just that that cloud hanging
over you.
Over me. We're all anticipating this, and it's interesting that like they're all the posts from a couple weeks ago were like, or a month ago were like, make sure to shop early, and then it was like, then a week goes by and it's like USPS is experiencing delays, and then it was posts a week later like what to do if you don't get your package in time, and then now it's been all these posts about like be nice, be kind to small businesses, be kind to your postal carriers. It's not just small businesses. It's not like we're the only ones that things are slow for. I have some stuff from bigger companies that's in the still says pre-shipment. That's the same thing. We're all using the same carriers, so no matter how big or small. So anyway, so I've just been checking my email. It's bad hygiene. I just like check my email. I check my reviews. I check my Instagram messages way too much right now, and it's not healthy. And so before I went to bed, I checked and it was like dump, dump, dump. There it is, a 1-star review. So I have 1,335 star reviews. I think I have 1 4-star review from a couple years ago that somebody didn't like my envelopes or somebody didn't like the size of a card or something like that. Then I have this 1 1-star review. So it just sent me into a tailspin of despair.
Yeah.
And I was really upset and I didn't sleep well. And it just...
It's really hard, too, because as much as I could say, you can't think about this one. You have to focus on all the good ones. It's hard. It's virtually impossible to not have the one.
No, and people have been so amazing with their reviews and so kind, and I feel that. But it's just thinking about how hard we've... Now, I'm not just saying me. I'm saying we've all worked this year.
Yeah.
And then this is our reward for it, is dealing with this person. And, you know, I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of talk about, like, Karen culture, and it's such a cliche, but I've really felt it this year by how people have talked to me and just the like the entitlement and the narcissism and the know-it-allness in all of it.
Very accusatory, like you're lying to them about when you shipped it. And
So this, even though I've had glimpses of this woman in some other messages, this was like the pinnacle. Yeah,
it encompassed every type of awful into one huge message.
So I didn't respond. I kind of slept. And then that morning I drove to go running. And like as I was driving, I was kind of thinking about what my tactic was going to be and how to respond. Also to how to like reach out to Etsy, because it was a very inflammatory review.
And also, as you mentioned, a review pretty much criticizing the shipping. So technically they shouldn't have let that through.
Yeah. And then I went running and I felt really like I had some runner's high. I felt really good. I'm like, I can deal with this. And so I came home and I responded to her both like publicly to her message, and then more like emotionally to her in her private, because she had like done a public review and a private message to me too. So like I spent a long time thinking about it and a very thoughtful response, and then she had a very like rude, flippant response back to me. So I'm like, I'm outing this person on social media. I actually like didn't out her name or anything. I kept that private, but I posted her review and her messages on social media, because I'm like, I know we're all getting these, and people are doing a lot of posts about kindness, but I haven't seen a lot of posts about actually how mean people are being, and how she accused me of lying about actually shipping her product. And she said I was blaming this all on the USPS. And she said that like I was blaming it on COVID, which pretty much like she doesn't really think that's a thing. Everyone's blaming it on that. And she 100 times said she was an eBay seller, which everyone like is rolling their eyes at that. Like, oh, I'm so glad you ship out old, smoky, gross things to people every now and then. And like mildewy, smoky. And so she's all this kind of like, I'm like, something about this, there's something about how she's phrasing things that started to become clearer.
Did she use
to
the pocket?
The she said
pocket
I was using, I was pulling COVID as an out of my excuse pocket.
Yeah.
Because I explained to her that, like, how the post office, the protocol at the post office, because she expected me to, like, get everything scanned at the post office, and they're not really, that's not how they're handling it right now. They're having us just drop things off because the lines are so long and it's very limited who they let in. So they don't want someone like me who could just drop it off and leave to like take up that time and space. And so, you know, she's like, that's, you know, that's crap, and that she would wait in line and get it scanned. Even if I did that, it's still going to go and sit in a distribution center for a week anyway. So it's not like that's going to make it get to her faster.
She's equating her eBay selling, like every now and again, a smoky old piece of, you know, jewelry or something that she sends out once every 3 weeks to your full-time business that you've been doing for 15 years. It's all just delusional.
Yeah. I posted it and it got like a big response from people, you know, being infuriated with this kind of person and having had the same experience, and we were all feeling it together. So obviously my Instagram feed is the right place to call this person out on. People are going to echo back to me how I'm feeling. And so another small business owner thanked me. Like, she's like, people aren't posting this enough. I want this out here. And she's like, it's one thing if you have a legitimate negative review, but it's all these reviews where it's somebody telling you how to do your business that are like rampant this year. I was like, this is interesting. And so then someone shared with me a whole Instagram that is dedicated to this. Someone also shared with me a website where you can look at all of their Etsy reviews to see if this is how they handle things. Etsy actually has been great with, so far. We'll see what happens with mitigating the effects of this and keeping her away from me too. You know, it's interesting, like these reviews use the same kind of language where it's like they accuse people of using COVID as an excuse. They think it's a conspiracy that USPS is actually slow. There's a lot of kind of veiled racism about people working at the USPS being lazy and getting huge pensions and things like that. And so there's like this thread that's running through them. And like, they're like, I'm tired of COVID being an excuse. And I'm like, they're hearing this from somewhere and then like putting it back out there too. So somehow like in the midst of all of this, things became political. My Etsy
shop like
yesterday.
Even this can become political.
Yeah.
You know, it's often my dream to open a shop. you know, I don't know what the shop would sell, but I like the idea of, in one of the Hallmark movies we are going to talk about, you know, there's a hardware store involved, and I like the idea of, like, just like working at the hardware store during the day, closing up shop, and going home
with a door with a little bell.
And it always, it just like it's like
you choose your playlist to play.
Yeah, just idyllic. I'm like, oh, this is like so wonderful. But then the part where you have to deal with the public, they don't show that very much on the Hallmark Christmas Channel or the Hallmark Christmas movies. I always fear it seems like it's a dream. But then is my dream really to deal with the public? I've dealt with the public in various jobs throughout my life, and I don't like the public, as it turns out, very
much. Most people, I think, are really nice. It's just you have to deal with a few people that sour it for everyone else.
Right, and in the same way as you get 1,000 talking about how great.
Somebody on Saturday morning sent me a really nice review, and I, like, respond. Normally, I always, like, acknowledge reviews or nice reviews and say, like, you know, thank you, I appreciate you taking the time to do this. But this person, I wrote this whole letter to, like, about how much I appreciate her.
And I guess it even, like, you know, like when we do Renegade and we sell, you know, your cards at the craft fairs, it's, for the most part, everybody is so nice.
Yeah, you just have like one or two awkward.
Yeah, like I love that interaction.
Kind of rude
people.
Yeah, where you're like, okay.
Yeah, but that is the one that you focus on. You don't like focus on all the nice people that you meet and are so complimentary of your work. And it's like I always like that aspect of doing those fairs because you can see that what your art does to people. You know, the positive effect. But then you're dealing with people and like some weirdos that. We'll just like look at the card and like say, I don't like this, or
I want people to know that like someone just might be making some candles and shipping them out on Etsy, but then they're having to deal with all of this.
Right. Yeah.
Too.
Well, it's over.
Happy holidays. I'm sure there's something else right around the corner. And just like, Rachel, who works for me, like, as soon as we, and she, this really like hurt her too, because she's worked just as hard as me to get orders out, if not even harder, because she's doing the packing up of order of most of the orders. And I think it's just like really, it was a gut punch to her.
Yeah, of course
too.
It is.
But then you have to realize that like it really has nothing to do with anything. We've done.
No, this person's awful, and this person is making
other people's
lives awful around her forever.
But it's just sad to me that like these people can reign power, like that this is common thought now, and they can affect people, and that so much of parts of this country have become so hateful.
Plus, on a Friday night, right as we were going to bed, I was like, this is the worst.
That's my fault.
I just had a wonderful Friday night. We're going to like,
I actually was like, I have to watch some Hallmark before I go to bed. And it did. It calmed me down. So we've been excited to watch this movie, Unlocking Christmas, only based on the look of the people who are in it and just the commercial had like a warm feeling to them. And it's this girl, Taylor Cole, who's been in her whole career is when you just look on her IMDb, it's all those Hallmark posters of any time of year. She has her own like Hallmark series and she's really pretty.
Yeah,
and
I like her.
And then this guy, Steve Lund, who was in Schitt's Creek, he was the guy who was like both dating Stevie and David at the same time. He was like a furniture maker or something. And he's cute. He's like super Canadian, but he has sort of like a Joshua Tree vibe to him. Kind of an indie rock vibe to him. Like I like both of them. He had like cute boots. And it, but I mean, there are things I liked about it, but we got suckered into watching another military one.
Yeah.
It's like when it's like, you know, that we're vegan and we think like, oh, we can eat this. And then, oh, actually this was cooked in bacon fat or something like that. Like, ah,
so
you
close.
Duped.
There's some that really pound you over the head with their, whatever their agenda is. I didn't feel like this one was really like pounding you over the head with it. It was there the whole time.
Almost worse that they've got like a dry erase board in the Hallmark writing room and they're like, okay, we need to add, oh, we need a little bit more military. Okay, just have him, he was in the Air Force.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And then they'll make a video that they send to the troops. Like, that was about it. There was also like a moment where she was a doctor and she was helping children, and I kind of had a feeling for a moment that it was also like going to be some like sad helping children one.
Oh.
Two, we were going to get a double dose.
Yeah, it wasn't though. I don't know if this probably didn't impact you as much as it did me, but his name was Kevin Matthews.
Yeah.
Right. You know, Kevin Matthews, a classic radio personality here in Chicago for, you know, 30 years. Every time I hear, like, it's Kevin Matthews.
Yeah. You'd be like a double take.
Oh, that's right. What are you, goofy? It's classic Kevin Matthews bits.
There's some business where they go to, like, this old museum, and, like, it has, like, this scene of like a town. Like, they live in a little, it's all about like being living in this little town, of course it is, and
Cedar Park.
Yeah. And his grandfather had made this like model village of the town, and it was like the main, like the centerpiece of the museum, and it was this whole big thing. It was so like dinky and impressive.
The whole museum was rather unimpressive.
It was like, I'm like, who would ever go to this museum? Like, growing up, Texas Tech had a museum, and there would always be these wings that I would like, I worked there in high school, and there would be like these wings I would have to like go into and dust or something, because like no one would ever go to them. And if they would be, I would be kind of scared, like no one's around, just me. And that's what this museum, it was just a museum of that. There's like this historical society museum in our neighborhood, and we never were like, what is this? Who would ever go there? I think that's probably exactly what that museum is like.
I'm intrigued by the Edgewater Historical Museum, though, because we've never gone, and I feel like we would be pleasantly surprised.
You think so? I think it's just a lot of old photos of like, da-da-da-da-da. It looks pretty dry to me.
You don't want to learn about the history of Ashland and Foster? Like, what was
here are
there?
The white people that lived here in the 1900s.
It was Swedish. They were Swedish.
Yeah. I am curious about who, like, built our house and lived in our house.
But maybe there's pictures of the house.
Maybe over our holiday break we'll go. Is it open?
I think it's open. Well, I guess so with COVID, I guess I don't know.
Was it locked down in the last phase?
Yeah, I don't know.
It was open, but then they locked it back down because it was too many people.
What if it had there was a special whole display of our house, and it had some like secret story? Because, you know, our house is weird. It has like creepy doors and secret rooms. Like, this is where they kept children like locked up or something, you know?
Your imagination isn't going wild, because last night at It's a Wonderful Life, like when Santa was singing, they made like a video and they play it, and you're like, wouldn't it be amazing if he jumped out of the screen, because he always throws candy around at the end, he runs up and down the aisles, like, wouldn't it be amazing if he jumped out of the screen and threw candy at the
wouldn't
bar?
That have been funny.
Yes, but it's never gonna happen.
Well, on the screen he jumps off the stage, and then all of a sudden the real person, him, is like at the movie, and then he goes to car from car to car.
It would be incredible. I also feel like that guy that plays Santa probably is like probably in like high risk category. He doesn't seem very healthy.
No, he does look a little unhealthy.
If you have to go to the bathroom during the movie, he's always like sitting in the lobby, not, like out of like with, maybe he still has the Santa suit on, but not like the hat and the beard or anything.
No, I think he's in regular.
He is. Yeah, they're just like
he looks. He looks overweight unhealthy. And sweaty.
Yeah, he's sweaty. Yeah. He has trouble getting up on this piano. Oh my gosh.
And they always do my favorite is when they always do their own, like, you're singing Andy Williams and Rudolph and White Christmas, all the classics, and then like and right now we'll do our own Christmas song that we wrote in this,
and you said last night, like, of all years, maybe let's not do it this year, but they still
here's
did
a
and you sang along
about
to it.
Christmas.
You know every word. He wouldn't have been the same without it. I think if he wouldn't have played it, we would have been sad.
They do the I'm Dreaming of a Chicago Christmas and a Mint by Frango. You know? And I was hoping that they would update the lyrics for COVID. They kind of phoned it in.
Mint by Frango. And like, when Berghoff served a meal with care. Oh my gosh.
There was one year they did something with Rizzo, remember?
Yeah,
like after the Cubs won the World Series. Like, Rizzo made
about
it.
That.
Another thing that I like about The Light is I listen to Delilah. Mm-hmm. You know, we like Delilah.
Delilah.
On Light FM. She has I never realized she has an accent.
I think she lives in like Dallas or something, right?
Yeah. Is that she, you know, she talks to people. And it's weird too, because I noticed that a lot of the people that call are young.
Yeah.
It's like teenagers. I'm like, who's teenagers calling Delilah?
I probably would have listened to Delilah in high school.
And you would have sent her a message?
I don't know. I have weird radio things.
So the other day she said, here's a message that I got from a Jane Doe. not her real name. I'm like, yeah, duh. And Jane Doe says, I just met the most beautiful man. We've been dating for like 4 weeks. It's been the most wonderful relationship I've ever been in. I've gotten out of a bad relationship, and I just am so happy about the holiday season. And then Delilah's like, that is wonderful. I am going to play a song for you. And then it's I Saw Mommy Kissing. It's like whatever they have queued up on the, yeah, the deck set.
It was like the one on the other night was like, Delilah, this is, I'm just so sad. My boyfriend broke up with me. And she's like, oh, that's just terrible, especially around the holidays. I'm going to play a song for you. Santa Claus is coming to town.
It's like, what? There I am. Listen to it every night at 7. This is Delilah on Light FM.
And then she obviously like records a bunch of stuff that says like Chicago. And she's, yeah, like those Uber Eats commercials where they record a bunch of different cities and then they just plug it.
Yeah, what's her face? What's her name? Jonathan Van Ness and Simone Biles. Yeah, they mentioned like Rosh Dashen.
Demera.
Yeah, Demera. Yeah. That was really exciting. I actually rewinded it to like show you. It's like, honey, look, they just mentioned a local restaurant on this commercial.
So anyway, Unlocking Christmas. Yeah. So the premise is a bit like Truman Show, where they get tricked into like thinking that their small town is like, they can never leave their small town. Like she's always wanted to move to Chicago. She gets a job there. He's been in the Air Force and he's looking for a way to like use those skills, mm-hmm, to do something. He gets a job in California and like they get like duped into like staying in the small town. And I'm just like screaming at the screen because all these like these things you know, they're like together the whole time trying to solve this puzzle thing. Yeah. It's like scavenger hunt. And then at the same time, they're like getting these job offers. And all they needed to do was just have like one conversation. Right. Like, okay,
where are you in this
what
relationship?
Are we, yeah.
Like, I have this opportunity to go to California. Yeah. You have an opportunity to go to Chicago. Are we going to do that and separate?
Yeah.
Or are we going to be together?
So, you know, they sort of like break up because they overhear.
Yeah, she hears parts of the conversation. I know you
hear that. Crazy. I know that doesn't make a good movie, but also this doesn't make a good movie.
I
hate when people don't just have just one simple conversation kind of taking care of this.
And I'm like, what do you think's going to happen? And you said, well, they should just go their separate ways. And I was like, geez.
They each got their, like, dream job.
Like, I was like, no, they should just give up their
dreams.
Stay in
this podunk town.
He was going to build houses for poor people or something.
Yeah, he tacked that on at the end. Like, he had this whole... another misunderstanding. He thought his dad wanted him to stay in town and run the hardware store. And his dad's like, no, I want you to do what you want, yeah, to do. I don't expect you to do this. They're just trying to, like, give him something to do as an
while
possibility.
He's home. Yeah.
And there was some darkness in his past that was never really addressed. We also never knew how her parents died.
Yeah.
Some questions that weren't answered. And I told you at one point, like, I think we're going to get the answers to all these questions. And then it was 8 minutes.
I know. Like, I don't think
we even got any answers to any questions.
Yeah, because he was wounded in battle.
Yeah.
And we don't know how or...
Because he was like, he...
Or how the extent of his injuries.
He was like a parachute jumper.
Yeah.
Landed on his foot weird or something. So, but then they made references that he needed to like stay busy. I'm like, what? There's something here.
Yeah.
Like he's gotten into some trouble because he didn't stay busy.
He needed the structure.
Yeah. Like he went into the military for a reason. But his dad told him, no, I don't expect you to do this. And he's like, okay, I'm going to take this job. And then he just ended up staying there and working at the hardware store. And like, I don't know.
And there were times in my life where I thought about joining the military, like when I was young, because I too like structure. I like the getting up at the same time.
You like your structure. You would not like someone else's structure.
Yeah, that's probably true. And I'd be a horrible military person. Could you imagine me in the military?
I can't picture it.
It was like, do you remember 9/11? After 9/11, I remember I was like, I got to get out of this radio. I'm doing like wacky bits. Mm-hmm. Like this is like, I want to do something. That makes a difference. So I was like, maybe I'll be a Chicago police officer.
Oh, geez.
So I took
Chicago. I'm so glad you didn't do that.
I took the Chicago police exam.
And it came back that you weren't racist enough, so they didn't approve you.
And so I passed the written portion of the test, and then you had to take the physical portion. But then by that time, I was over doing good for people. I was like, the radio's fine.
You're just like, I'm just going to watch Frasier.
But I sometimes think about, what if I went through, like, if I was a cop? Imagine me, like, shooting somebody or, like, holding a gun. Like, how weird that would be.
But maybe that's, they don't need people who are drawn to being a cop. They need people like you who are more thoughtful to be a cop.
Yeah, maybe. I wouldn't want to
We're tackling everything today.
Just like drive. I just want to drive around the car and listen to my Spotify.
Again, we come back to the same things. Where you want to be a bartender just in the afternoon when nobody's there.
Right, yeah. Doesn't that sound wonderful? You could just like put the TV on and watch whatever and like read the papers. Maybe occasionally serve a person.
You just want to drive around in the car.
So then how did it end? And they were together and they decided to stay in Cedar Park.
We spoiled it.
So I guess this is the last holiday.
That's
one.
That's it. The other thing we watched was, we watched Christmas Vacation for the millionth time. And what I had never noticed before was, you know, they kind of like show what day it is on an advent calendar. Their parents were there for like over 2 weeks.
Yeah. Long time.
Yeah, that's crazy. No wonder it was such a big deal.
Well, there's a point in the movie where Chevy Chase's parents are watching. They're watching a parade and falling asleep at the parade. I'm like, what parade?
It's like December 18th.
Yeah, like what parade is this?
Yeah.
Is it like for the Peach Bowl?
You know, also, in the beginning, they drive and there's mountains. Well,
there's a lot of. I think I called something out and you were like, okay, there's some problems with this, the consistency here. Oh, yeah, because in the first scene when they go to drive through Colorado and they pick out their tree and then, you know, he forgets the saw. So the next scene is like them driving with the roots and all the base of the tree. I was like, how do they ever get that? That's 1,000 pounds.
We have to suspend belief. Here.
Yeah, and then we watched it on AMC, so there was swear words.
Yeah, it was the only way we could watch it, so we had to like fast forward the commercials.
We were going to watch White Christmas last night.
Well, we had to watch Unlocking Christmas for this.
We took part in Festivus, so that ate up our
time. And we watched some Saturday Night Live.
So we'll have Christmas. We'll have to watch White Christmas tonight.
But we want to watch. There's a Christmas movie on tonight we were going to watch with Travis Van Winkle. Is that his name?
Yeah, it is Travis Van Winkle.
He looks like a Travis Van Winkle, too. Yeah.
But it's one of those ones that start at 9 o'clock on a Sunday night.
It's too late to save it. Unlocking Christmas was a 9 o'clock one that we had to save.
I think I was going to say, like, oh, maybe we'll sneak one more in before Christmas. But Christmas is
I don't think you'll be able to edit it is the problem. So. Yeah. Unless you want to, like, go in on your day off. Will you do that for our fans?
As long as nobody writes a negative review.
Yeah, we did get a really nice... Yeah, so please give us a nice rate review and rating. We did just get a really nice one.
I know.
On there. So I really appreciate, like, it takes time to do that. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and I feel guilty that I don't do it more often with things that I buy. I pretty much just buy the product and then I forget about it. I don't think how well that would make the seller feel. Yeah. It's like posting a
positive
review.
Well, people will post reviews about like who they gave it to. Like, I really love, like, it's fun to like know that part of it. Do it for them, but also do it to like negate the crazy bad ones.
Right.
Again.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Too. I mean, and I know too, like if I buy something and I read reviews a lot when I buy things, just like having to buy clothes online is hard. And so you can read like how that actually was in person and how it fit. And I know if there's a 1-star review, that's all about the reviewer, not the actual product. If it's mostly getting good reviews.
Even, I mean, it's the same thing with like Yelp or any type of customer review based platform. You're always going to get somebody that's going to be disappointed.
Someone brought up a point with me that like, it's easy to take your frustration out right now on someone with a 5-star rating system, and that it's easy to like, because I'm not a Jeff Bezos drone.
Right.
I'm an actual person, and so to like, you can take your frustration out on like an actual person too.
Yeah.
So.
Ugh. I don't want to end it. I don't want to end
no,
it.
No, no, no. I'm sorry.
Do you want me to sing a couple of songs? Will that be better? We can end it that way. All right. Well, everybody have a safe and merry Christmas, and we'll hopefully talk to you soon.